Well, good morning. If you're a guest here, I'm not the pastor. I'm the children's pastor. So try again next week if you want a better sermon. But bear with me this week. It'll be a good time. We're continuing our sermon series. We're going to be in Matthew 20. And like a rookie, you actually have to actually get your Bibles because the words aren't going to be up there. So you have to pull out your Bibles and you have to read out of it this morning. So if you don't have one, there's one in the pew in front of you. Let's go ahead and get into Matthew 20. I'm going to read it and then we can really dive in. So Matthew 20 says this. For the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right I will give you. So they went. Going out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, why do you stand here idle all day? They said to him, because no one has hired us. He said to them, you go into the vineyard too. And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first. And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, these last worked only 1 hour, and yet you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat. But he replied to one of them, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity? So the last will be first, and the first last. Before we dive into this, let's spend a moment in prayer. Father God, thank you so much for your word, for your truth. Thank you so much for your grace and your goodness. God, I pray that as we look at this parable, Lord, that you'd get me out of the way and that your spirit would move and that you would speak. Lord, I pray that what I speak is truth. God, and I pray that we're encouraged by this message today. Lord, thank you so much for your love. Thank you so much for your son, and thank you so much for sending him to die on the cross for our sins. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, the title of this sermon, in all of my creative ways, is The Kingdom of Heaven is Like. Anytime Jesus is speaking in a parable, and he's talking about heaven, if you go back and look, most of them will start off with the kingdom of heaven is like. And so we are looking today at, quite simply, what the kingdom of heaven is like. And our big idea for the day is the work may be different, but the reward is the same. So the work may be different, but the reward is the same. Now, when I get into a parable, I like to know what is what. Now, it helps me as I go through, I have it down on paper, and if I ever am confused about what this is Jesus is talking about, I can see. So, when we look at this parable, the kingdom of heaven is referring to heaven, the master of the house is referring to God, laborers are Christians, the field and the market is earth, and receiving the money, as they receive the money, that's glorification. But it's important for us to understand why Jesus is telling us this parable in the first place. So we're going to look back in Matthew 19, and we got a little clip of what Matt talked about last week, and that leads right into this. Because after that conversation, the disciples heard this, and they were greatly astonished, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Talking about salvation. Then Peter said in reply, see, we have left everything and followed you. What then will we have? So Peter, he recognizes, all right, well, this man, he liked his money, he walked away, but Jesus, I left everything. Look at what I did. I left everything and followed you. And so Jesus answers very directly. He says, truly I say to you, in the new world, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my name's sake will receive a hundredfold and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. So what we're seeing Jesus do in this parable is Jesus is answering a question, or rather a statement that Peter made when he goes, we left everything, what will we have? Well, then Jesus goes into this parable, and this is what we have. This is what the kingdom of heaven is like. For me to best understand this parable, maybe you're the same way, I like to get in the shoes of the laborers. What are they thinking? What are they going through? So let's look at the first laborer. The first laborer, he wakes up early in the morning, and he agrees with the master of the house that at the end of the day, he's going to receive a denarius. Well, a denarius is about on par for what an average day's work is, and an average work day was about 12 hours. It was split up into three different sections, but still it was a 12-hour work day. So the first laborer works all day, all 12 hours. I mean, he is in the field. And then the end of verse 12, it says, these last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day in the scorching heat. So we know it's hot. We know this first labor, I mean, they worked all day in this heat. It made me immediately think of going out and picking strawberries in the middle of August. It just, any other time, but not August. Here it is hot, and maybe the first hour or so I'm enjoying myself, but by hour two, maybe even hour three, I'm like, all right, I'm tired. And then especially by hour six, I mean, I'm drenched, I'm sweaty, I am ready to be gone. But this first laborer works all 12 hours. So if I'm the first laborer and I've worked 12 hours and I'm receiving my pay, let's look at verse 10. Now those who hired first came and they thought they would receive more. Well, why? Because they worked 12 hours. There was one laborer that came with 1 hour left in the day. And what did he receive? A denarius. The full day's work. And that first laborer, he saw him receive that denarius. Now, if I'm that first laborer, I get what he's saying. I'm grumbling and complaining too. He worked 1 hour. Why is he going to get the same amount that I got paid? Because I worked 12 hours. This makes sense to me. I worked 12 hours for you, which means I should get paid more than the person that worked 1 hour. So when we get in the mindset of this first laborer, like, I completely understand it. If I was doing that hard work, I'd want to get paid too. But then what about the 11th hour laborer? Verse 6, and about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing, and he said to them, why do you stand here idle all day? They said to him, because no one has hired us. He said to them, you go into the vineyard too. So he's hanging out in the marketplace, and then 11th hour, right as the workday is about to come to a close, someone calls on him, says, hey, come into my vineyard, do an hour's work, I'll give you a denarius. So, I mean, I would do that. That sounds like a great deal to me. So I'm accepting that. I walk into the vineyard, I do an hour's work. And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each received a denarius. Not only did they receive a denarius, but they received it first. So if I'm that 11th hour worker, I mean, I'm stoked. I'm so excited. I got a denarius for working an hour. I'm coming back to this master of the house because he is good. And then we also see other workers that come in about the 3rd hour, the 6th hour, the 9th hour, and they too receive one denarius. And one thing that we notice between the first laborer and the 11th hour laborer is that there's tension, which makes sense because you're that first laborer, you're going to be a little frustrated. But when Jesus speaks in parables, it's more than what we see. So let's dig a little deeper into Who truly is this first laborer that Jesus is talking about in this parable? Well, this first laborer is someone who grew up knowing the Lord, baptized at 8 years old, grew up in church, went through high school, served the Lord. They went through college, served the Lord. In their young adult days, they served the Lord. All throughout their life, they were serving and worshiping God. When I look at Scripture, someone that comes to mind, now part of this is because we've been talking about them on Wednesday nights, and we've been going through this, but Samuel. So in 1 Samuel 1, it says this, "For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to him. Therefore I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is lent to the Lord," and he worshiped the Lord there. Samuel, from day one, was given to God and worshiped God. As you read through 1 and 2 Samuel, you can see that Samuel continued to serve the Lord. All of his days, Samuel served God. Other people that I think about in Scripture, I think of Stephen, the first martyr for Christ, served the Lord and was stoned for his faith. But then we look at the 11th hour. It was 11th hour laborers. Well, when I was looking at the 11th hour laborer, the first thing that came to mind was Luke 23, starting in verse 39. It says this, "One of the criminals who was hanged railed at him, saying, 'Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us.' But the other rebuked him, saying, 'Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we, indeed, justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong.' And he said to Jesus, 'Remember me when you come into your kingdom.' And he said to him, 'Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise.'" Jesus didn't look at this criminal and tell him, "All right, well, after a week you'll be with me in paradise. After you labor in my field, you will be with me in paradise." He didn't say, "When you come down from the cross, when you do X, Y, or Z." No, Jesus just said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." It's the 11th hour for this man. It's almost his time to go. And he repents. He turns away from his sin, recognizing what he's done, turns to Jesus and says, "You're the only thing that can save me." That's what we see in the 11th hour laborer. But a commonality is that that first laborer, Samuel, that 11th hour laborer, the criminal on the cross, neither one of them are getting to the Father without the grace of Jesus. And that is what we're talking about today. The work may be different, but the reward is the same. When I think of this, I mean, we look at people in Scripture, and it makes sense because Stephen wouldn't look at this criminal on the cross and say, "Jesus, he doesn't deserve your grace." And we can see that because as Stephen is being stoned to death, he looks to the Father and he says, "Father, forgive them." And that's what we're called to have, is that same mentality. It doesn't mean it's always easy, though. In 1994, Jeffrey Dahmer was baptized. And that's an 11th hour laborer. Because we look at Scripture and we go, okay, yes, there's this criminal on the cross, and it's so easy for us to go, yes, he accepted Christ. But what about those people that hurt us? What about those people that destroy lives? What about those people that bring us to our knees in frustration and anger, yet in the 11th hour, they accept Jesus Christ? Do they not receive the same grace that we receive? Do they not need the same grace that we need as Christians? Once again, it doesn't matter when you accept Jesus Christ into your heart, whether you're 8 or whether you're 80, we both need Jesus. We both need grace. So, now that we have an idea of who this first laborer and who the 11th hour laborer is, and we know that in between there are other laborers, and those are people that come along at different phases of life, whether you're 8, whether you're 15, 20, 30, 50, 60, doesn't matter. The message is the same. Whether it's the first hour or the 11th hour or anywhere in between. So, now we need to look at how we can apply this. The first thing that I notice is that the field is physical. The field is physical. We look in Matthew 20, verse 12, it says, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." It's hot. The field is hot. But for us, if we're believers, we're the ones working in that field. Scripture tells us that in this world we may have troubles, but we can take heart because Jesus has overcome the world. Doesn't mean working for the master of the house is going to be easy. But what it does mean is at the end of the day, we're going to receive that denarius. At the end of the day, it's all going to be worth it. The field is physical. It's not always easy. But the payment is impartial. So, like I said, whether you are 8 years old and you're baptized and you live for Christ the rest of your life, or whether you have lived a life straying from the Lord and you turn 80 years old and you recognize your need for Jesus and you accept Him into your life, you get the exact same payment. Because the payment is impartial. We all need that same payment. We all need grace. We all need Jesus. Because without Him, we're separated from God. We also see that the gift is gracious. The gift is gracious. Matthew 20, verse 13 through 15 says this. "But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me, or do you begrudge my generosity?'" It's a gift. The laborer of the house agreed to this gift. He told all the laborers, "If you come work for me, if you come serve for me, then what I will do is I will give you this denarius." For us, if we work for the Lord, if we serve for the Lord, if we follow Christ, our gift is eternal life with Him. Doesn't matter if we start serving Him when we're 8. It doesn't matter if we start serving Him when we're 80. Whatever age, whatever phase of life, it's a gift that we all receive. But notice, they had to accept the labor. They had to say, "Yes, as the master of the house, I am going to serve you. I'm going to work for you." They had to leave the marketplace and go to the vineyard. No different for us. When we accept Christ, we have to leave our old life and run to our new life that's in Jesus. And finally, the master is merciful. Now, this isn't anything that you'll specifically see right here in this passage, but when you zoom out and you look at Scripture as a whole, you can see that God, being the master of the house, is merciful for us, merciful to all. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." What we deserve is death. What we receive is life. That's mercy. Nothing we did, nothing we could do. Can't be kind enough, we can't give enough, we can't serve enough, we can't love enough. All we can do is accept the gift that God has given to us. Because the master is merciful. We are his creation and we rebelled against him. We sinned, we messed up, but God gives grace. God shows mercy, and God gave his only son to die on the cross so that we could spend eternity with him. So closing out on this parable, it's so easy for us to have the mentality of the first worker sometimes. It's so easy. It's our natural instinct because we want to say, we did all of this work, especially if you were one of the first laborers, be it the first or the one that showed up 3 hours late or 6 hours late, whatever it is. When we do more work than someone else, our natural instinct is to say, I deserve more than that person because this is what I did. I did this, so I deserve more. But that's not the gospel. The gospel is, we didn't do anything. The gospel is, Jesus did everything, and we get everything. Jesus died so that we could live. So easy to get stuck in that mindset of the first laborer. But what we should have is the mindset of that 11th hour laborer, where we say, thank you. I didn't deserve all of this money. I didn't deserve this entire denarius, but you gave it freely. You give it to me anyway, and for that I'm thankful. We need the same grace. We deserve the same punishments. But we serve a loving God. So as we finish reflecting on this passage, just keep in mind that the Spirit is still moving. The Spirit is still looking for laborers. You're never too old. You've never done too much. You've never strayed too far, because the labor, it's not about the labor. It's about what Jesus did for us. Jesus is calling laborers, and the laborers are called to work. So as we go out this week, are we going to labor for Christ? Or are we going to be focused on what we've done? So let's spend some time in prayer as we close. Father God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for your truth. God, I pray that as we reflect on this passage, we'll have grace, we'll have mercy, Lord, that we'll be understanding. Lord, I pray that you encourage us to work hard in your field, Lord. We're not lollygagging or not focused, but Lord, that we'll be focused on the task at hand and that we will work hard for you. God, I pray that you continue to give us courage and strength. Lord, encourage us as we go out. God, we just pray that those that don't know you come to know you. Lord, that they recognize they're never too far gone. No one's too far gone. Lord, no one's too old. No one's done too much, Lord, but you have a gift waiting for them. Lord, I pray you move in their hearts. Lord, I pray you move in all of our hearts to receive you and to draw us closer to you. Lord, we love you and we thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.